In the New Testament book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 22, Paul writes, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord." What does that look like in our culture today? What does that mean? I'm John Fuller, along with Greg Smalley and his wife, Erin. They lead the Focus Marriage team. And Greg, alongside this verse is an admonition for men to lead our wives well. This is a big topic, but what are a couple of headlines to keep in mind from your perspective?
Well, I think, you know, first of all, it's never my job to ever even bring up the word submission to Erin. That's between her and the Lord. Like, that's not my business. My business is becoming a godly husband, someone that she wants to follow. That's what's within my control, and that's what I need to be focused on, because that'll take me forever until I die to really do that. I had fun actually thinking about this. I just Googled the term characteristics of a godly husband. And what was good about it for me was just to be reminded of things like, as you read from Ephesians 5:25, where it's telling me as the husband to love Erin as Christ loved the church. So in other words, he gave his life to love sacrificially.
Right.
So to begin to think even there, what does that really look like? How am I sacrificing my resources, my time for Erin? Colossians 3:19 says that a husband is gentle with his wife. Man, what a great question to ask Erin. How gentle you feel I am, especially in times of when we're in disagreement or maybe we're having a hard conversation.
Don't ask Dina on that by the way, because I fail at that a lot.
You know, Ephesians 5:29 talks about cherishing Erin, you know, as her husband, seeing her value, to nourish her, to help her grow by understanding what is it that she really wants from me to feel loved. And the list goes on and on. Just by simply Googling that, it just gave me a great list, you know, that a godly husband is sexually faithful. He provides for his wife and family. He's committed to this lifelong relationship. I love King Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, says a godly husband is intoxicated with his wife's love. Just fully immersed. He's enjoying her. He's separated from his families, God said in Genesis 2:24. So that's the stuff that I need to be focused on. I don't ever want to think about, is Erin submitting or not? That's between her and the Lord. How am I growing into a man, into a husband that she wants to follow?
All right. Well, that's really good. That's a great list. I might suggest theology from Google. You got to kind of take it a little bit advisedly,
yeah,
but
well,
you
the stuff
take it for putting the contours
clearly
on
with
yeah.
the verses. I mean,
you absolutely brought the context to us. In fact, you even have it in red letters. So I guess Jesus said all that stuff. Let's go ahead and turn back to that verse I opened with, which is chapter 5 of Ephesians, verse 22, about the big word, submission. Here's a conversation Jim Daly and I had with Dr. Julie Slattery, who addresses that word in today's world.
Let's get right into it. Submission. Woo, there's a word.
That's getting right
that
into
is
it.
Getting into
Let's
it.
Jump into the deep end of the pool.
Yes.
So when it comes to submission, I can't think of a word that stirs up more energy and more negativity than that one. But the Bible does use that word. Mm-hmm. What does it mean?
Well, I think first of all, we have to address why it's stirring up so much negativity. And, you know, there are a lot of women that as soon as they hear that word, they're like, they want to throw their smartphone across the room or turn off the radio.
I think it conjures up weakness. And for that, women, wait a minute, I'm no weak woman.
Yeah.
But, you know, what is it hitting? What nerve is it hitting?
Well, it conjures up, like you said, the idea that maybe God wants us to be weak or less than, but I think in today's day and age, we hear so many stories of women that are in abusive marriages and have stayed in that situation because of a wrong understanding of submission.
Right.
We're in the middle of the Me Too and the Church Too movement.
Oh,
and
men abuse this terribly.
Yes, yeah.
So there's a good reason for women to be upset with it.
It's been abused in the church. It's been abused in the Christian home. And so I think we're in an era today where it's become so painful for many women that they just want to discount that altogether. Like, let's just take a big red pen and cross that out in the Bible or describe why it doesn't apply to today's marriage. But, it does. You know, it's not primarily because Paul wrote this in a couple of his letters. It's because marriage is a revelation. It was created to be a human relationship that reveals the nature of how God loves his people. And so when Paul does teach on this in the scripture, he's saying in marriage, you're creating something in your relationship that points to Christ's relationship with the church. And so the way a man loves his wife and lays his life down for her, the way a woman responds to her husband, it's not just about your marriage. You're painting a picture of what how Christ loves his people. And so we can't so easily just dismiss it, but we do also have to wrestle with how it's been misused and harmed women.
And I love that illustration. It'll change how you relate to one another when you grab that understanding of what marriage is meant to be biblically. Let me ask you, Julie, that idea of submission so often, and you alluded to this, but I really want to press the point. So often with culture, rather than getting a deeper understanding of the biblical definition and what God is saying, we tend to take a marker out and X it out and change the scripture.
Right.
I mean, we're seeing that in human sexuality today because it doesn't fit our cultural desires. We decide, man, we'll just ignore those issues, whether that's same-sex marriage or whatever it might be. That is dangerous ground for the Christian community. Very dangerous. And I just want you to hit that again, that we're not allowed to edit the book. We can't come along and take that marker and knock those things out. So when it comes to submission, it's how do we dig deeper to better understand what God is revealing to us.
Yeah, and that's really what we want to do. We want to understand God's heart and why he would create marriage the way he has. And part of this goes back to what we talked about yesterday, when we talked about the power of a wife in marriage. We talked about how, guys, you really have three needs and women have two needs. I think in many ways that makes women more powerful in marriage than men.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think a woman has the ability to set the emotional tone of marriage more than men do.
We even joke about it. We call it the thermostat, right? Yeah. Mama is the thermostat.
Yeah. And now, is that true in every marriage? I think there are certainly women who are like, wow, I don't feel powerful. My husband is controlling and dominant. But I would say to that woman, God wants you to be powerful. He wants you to have a voice. He wants you to stand up. He wants you to speak out loud. And so submission is not the absence of a voice or the absence of power. It's using your power wisely.
Yeah, biblically.
Yeah, you know, Proverbs 14:1 says, "The wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands the foolish one tears hers down."
Okay, well, we're going to cut in right there and say that's enough for the moment. Aaron, this is a big topic, and, and there's a whole lot of research and books and commentaries about the word submission. I'm sure that there are women who are thinking, are you kidding me? This is not something, that's archaic, that's patriarchal, I'll have none of it. But this is actually part of God's word and his design.
You know, I think women react and people in general react negatively to the word submission because it's one of the most misunderstood terms in, especially within the church, but even outside of the church. It's something that's been abused. It's been misused. It's just, it's been so misunderstood. Oftentimes, people think submission is all about not having a voice, not having a say, that submission is, oh, my husband makes all the decisions. And submission is something that could not be further from that. Submission is something that, as a woman, I submit to God. So it's this reverence I have for who God is in my life that I submit to him. It's a state of my heart versus an action. It's actually more about what's going on inside of my heart between me and God than it is between me and my husband. I love how one author said, she said, submission boils down to having a spirit of amenability. And it means being soft, receptive, responsive, and agreeable, which I have full control of. Because of the misconceptions surrounding the definition of submission, she went on to say, I actually prefer to use the term amenability. And amenability comes from the French word to lead, amener, to lead. An amenable woman is leadable as opposed to ungovernable. She's responsive to input and likely to cooperate. And so, you know, you think about, what does that look like today? Because Paul talked about this in 62 AD. So, you know, oftentimes we do want to discard it and dismiss it. But as a godly Christian woman today, as a wife, what does that mean? And it is really so much about my connection with God. And if I am listening to him and allowing him to lead, and then I show up with my husband in a way that is kind and open to engaging around conversation, not taking over, because as women, so often that's what we do. Mm-hmm. That when, if he's not leading, well, then I will. And we step in and there goes, you know, even the design of being teammates and being cooperative in our marriage. So I'm hoping that people are hearing, listeners are hearing, that it is not being silent. It is not, you know, being the lesser vessel.
Yeah, you're
it
not
is,
a
we're
doormat.
Equals. We yeah. are teammates.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to underscore leadership. So speaking from the husband's standpoint, is God has made that clear. That's a part of my role as a husband. Is not leadership doesn't mean, no, I make all the decisions. Leading to me means, am I leading out pursuing Aaron? Am I leading out by initiating dates? Am I leading by repairing hard conversations or the conflict that we get into? I mean, you think about all the ways that we could be leading that have nothing to do with making decisions. It's, am I leading by taking her to church on Sunday? Hmm. Am I leading out at night praying for her? Do I lead by saying, let's study one chapter from Proverbs every day together? And so it seems like guys often get caught up in this idea, oh, leader, I get to make all the decisions. It is not that at all. One, as a leader, I'd be a complete moron to ever make a decision without tapping into the wealth of knowledge and experience and wisdom and intellect that Aaron brings, all her gifts that she brings to our marriage. I mean, that's why she said, when we make decisions, we talk it through and find something that's good for both of us. But the conviction should be for, as husbands, okay, am I really leading out by resolving and repairing conflict? Let's just start there, because most don't. And it seems like it's up to the wife.
The wife to bring it
to
up.
To kind of bring that stuff up. So there's some good places where we can learn to lead.
Yeah, and I love that, because God's design is, it says in God's word that he is the leader. And so my submission, again, is a choice. And I submit to Greg through my love and commitment to God. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just accepting that that is God's design for the family, but it doesn't mean that I am silent.
Yeah. Well, obviously there's a lot here, and we've got articles and resources that further unpack this concept on our website. We do also have caring Christian counselors here, because it may be that this is a real flashpoint for you in your relationship. Reach out to us if it can be of help. We'll schedule a phone consultation, and that might be beneficial for you. We're a phone call away. We do have the book by Julie Slattery, Finding the Hero in Your Husband, which captures a lot of the wisdom you heard from Julie today. And that'll be available to you for a donation of any amount to the Ministry of Focus on the Family. You'll find details about all of these and more helps in the show notes. Next time, we'll hear from Jason and Tori Benham about the spiritual battles that accompany your marriage. For now, on behalf of Greg and Aaron and the entire team, I'm John Fuller, and thanks for listening to the Focus on the Family Marriage Podcast.
It can be challenging to inspire your community to see life the way God sees it. So what's the solution? Well, on June 15th, Focus on the Family is hosting Sea Life 24. And no matter where you are or who you are, you can be a part of this free event with speakers like Ben and Kirsten Watson and real stories about choosing life. Sea Life 24 will inspire you to translate your faith into action. Register today at sealife24.org.